Prosperity Gospel. Today's show is probably the most powerful message on prosperity and abundance that you will hear as a Christian. God has given me a word for you, and I am privileged to partner with Him in this work. You have tuned in to Debt Free Wealth Radio with Trudy Behrman. Thank you for taking me along with you on your mobile device, the web, or through my syndicated outlets. I bring you topics, programs, and products geared to move the Christian income earner to become a profitable steward who enjoys debt-free wealth, because prosperity is not entitled, but it is within reach. Today's topic is the Stewardship Guide to Asset Management. And this is probably the most powerful thing that you will hear as a Christian. Now, asset management, as we hear it in the world, is often a financial focus. However, money is simply a result. Money is a product. Money is an outcome. Money is a reward. Money is a result of the utilization of the real assets that each of us has. The wealthy people understand this, and it is why they're able to earn more than the average person. You see, we need to shift our understanding that money is not the goal, is not the reason, is not what, you know, because we don't have it, we don't have. It's not, it is an end product. It is an end result. It is simply a result that every one of us can manipulate, and we can make our outcomes better. You see, there is no shortage of money in the world. Even if the government has to print it, there is no shortage of money, but there is a shortage of things that create an outcome of money. These are our real assets, and the real assets are God-given. We use our God-given assets to create a result that we call money. Here it is, guys. There are three very vital assets all of us, the moment we are brought into this world, have: time, our mind, and our body. Time is a non-renewable asset, and it is the most precious of all the asset classes. Don't waste it. Time is often the most ignored asset until a deadline looms that has costly consequences. Sometimes that is, you've got 6 months to live. Whatever the deal is, time is our most precious, and it is a non-renewable asset. Please don't waste it. Our body is a depreciating asset. From the moment of birth, death is imminent. Now we go through a rapid growth process, and then there is a continuing decline. Our lives look like a bell pull. Then after we hit the top of that curve, there is a continuous decline brought on by aging and influenced even more by our state of personal care. You have to realize our body is a depreciating asset, and our body is how we do life on this side of eternity. You need to care it, and the better you care it, is the better we last, because we should be caring our bodies better than we do our cars or houses or how the curators at those museums curate and preserve the priceless historic monuments. Our mind is a renewable asset. The Bible talks about the renewing of our mind. But if your mind is unused, if your mind is abused, or if your mind is constantly drugged, over time, your mind can deteriorate. Engage constantly, Christians, in the renewing of our mind. This is called personal development in the secular world. But you know what? Even when our bodies die, our minds live on in that essence that we call our spirit. It is our true us. It is the true you. And honestly, guys, when our minds are gone, even if our bodies are still here, those of us who know us best will determine that we are, in fact, gone. Let me sort of remind you of the Terri Schiavo situation, or anyone whose mind is alert, even if their body is not movable, like a Stephen Hawking. we understand that they're still a vibrant source of life and energy. But if your body is here and your mind is not here, as in the case when I buried my dead grandmother, I looked at her corpse, her physical body was still here, but she was gone. Okay? So our mind is a renewable asset. Money is not where real value exists. Money is an unlimited, easy to create asset. Unlike time, our mind, and our body, none of those can we as humans create, nor is it easy to do. Okay? So money is an unlimited, easy to create asset. Even if it means the government resorts to printing it, money is a result of how we use our real God-given assets. The assets that we possess help us generate money. And this is where we should put our focus, because when we manage, profitably manage, this which God has put under our control in the form of time, in the form of our minds, and in the form of how we move our bodies, this is how we generate and manipulate wealth. We need to focus as Christians on the real asset management if you are looking for true wealth creation. People, God has given me this powerful insight, this powerful revelation. I have been on the edge of this for a while, but my gosh, he brought it to me full, powerful, potent this morning. You see, in Genesis, we see that God put man in paradise. Work was still required back then, but abundance was our reality. Then sin entered and brought with it death and the need to survive and thrive by the sweat of our brow. Death and sweating the sweat of our brow did not exist in paradise. Work existed in paradise. Our bodies existed in paradise. And time was eternal in paradise. But sin brought with it death. And a limitation to our physical existence in this body, not our eternity, just our physical existence and body, because we all are eternal creatures. Whether we spend it in heaven or hell is a different story, but we're all eternal creatures. That essence of us lives on beyond our body. Sin entered through death, sin entered and brought with it death, and the instruction of God that by the sweat of our brow we will have our bread. This is our ability to survive and thrive in this new existence that we brought on through choosing sin. However, God, being the amazing God that he is, sent the second Adam in the form of Jesus to restore us. Jesus told us his mission. He told us his mission statement. He said he came that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Or as stated even better in John 10:10. I have come that they may have life, life in its fullest measure. You see, there is only one gospel, and anything else is dangerous to preach, and man has been guilty of modifying this gospel for centuries. Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 11:4. It says, "For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted," easily enough, we are accepting a watered-down, modified, compromised gospel. The gospel is clear. Jesus came into our depravity to restore us to this abundant life. Those who ascribe to a prosperity gospel where merely accepting Jesus means mansions and Cadillacs appear in your reality, that is not a biblical understanding of Christianity and of the salvation message. It's not. You see, nor is poverty. Nor is poverty. Christians, being poor is another message that is a deviation of the truth. Poverty may be where we are. Poverty, that desperation, that sweat of our brow where the earth was not going to just readily produce for us, came as a result of sin, people. And Jesus came into our depravity. Our depraved condition is a result of sin. Jesus came from heaven, where streets are paved in gold, to a bed of hay, to restore us to our heavenly eternity. See, like Paul, Many Christian missionaries are tent makers, financing their lives and living very frugally so that they can bring the gospel, the good news, to regions where it is unknown and not supported. So these missionaries have opted out of personal prosperity. It doesn't mean money isn't coming to them. Money's coming to them in the form of their personal work and effort, which generates money, or through the giving of from other Christians sending money to the mission field. But they have opted out of personally enjoying that prosperity and channeling those funds to the mission field. Some of us share in that mission by channeling some of our prosperity to the mission field, and I encourage more of us to continue doing so and to do even more. But there are too many broke Christians in line for a handout instead of being in a position to give a hand up and to send to the mission field. And this has to change. Before big government became the norm, a new world concept that did not exist in history, it was people of faith that they did charity and works of generosity. Orphanages, homes for the aged, originated with men and women with a godly worldview. They were following in Jesus' footsteps to help and feed the poor. I want you to read Matthew 25 in its full context. But focusing, but in Matthew 25, which is Matthew 25, verse 20, which is a main key focus verse for the work that I do, it says, Matthew 25, 20. This is the story of the talents, and this is the man who had five. Matthew 25, 20. The one who had received the five talents came forward, bringing the other five, and said, "Sir, you gave me five talents. I have made five more." You see, we have everything that we need to create our abundance. God has given us time, a non-renewable asset. God has given us our mind, a very renewable asset. God has given us a body to do life through. That is a depreciating asset that we have full control over. And it is the use of our time. It is how we as stewards use our time, our mind, and our body that we generate the unlimited resource called money and wealth. And we do that through the sweat of our brow. I encourage you to become a profitable steward of that which God has put under your control, and that is time, your mind, and your body. Profit is the realm of abundance. Profit is the realm of more, of prosperity, of abundance. Profit is that realm. And that, my friend, is the prosperity gospel. That is how the Christian will enjoy life more abundantly. When we become good stewards, it's not magic. It's not you become a Christian and wealth rains from the sky. It's you become a Christian and you understand the role of being a profitable steward. People, I beg of you. The Bible tells us in Matthew 25, verses 37 to 40, it says, "The righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters, you did for me.'" This is the generous giving. Guys, being satisfied with earning just enough for you and your family's comfort is not Christian. It is not enough. We need to use our God-given talent to do what the profitable steward did, the one who got two and made two, the one who got five and made five. We need to earn more. More is the realm of profit, of abundance, of prosperity. This is the place where generosity is not only possible, but this is the place where generosity is easy and generosity is joyful. There is no pain in giving when you are a prosperous and profitable steward. There's nothing wrong with sacrificial giving, people, but the only place, and I challenge you, the only place the Bible asks us to be sacrificial in our giving is in the area of tithing. It is in the area of tithing. Why? Because sacrificial giving is giving of the best of the best, of the top 10%. It is the top first. That is the area of sacrifice. When you give something The Bible gives us a story of the rich who gave from their something and the woman who gave her two mites. This was Jesus telling us that story. This was a story of tithing. When you're giving to God, that is the only time sacrificial giving, because you understand who God is and that everything you have came from him in the first place. Sacrificial giving is the only time that is mentioned is with tithing. And Jesus had nothing good to say about those who gave from their something. And even in the story of Cain and Abel, where the something, because Cain gave something. Sacrificial giving is to the realm of giving to God. Generous giving to an alms, giving of alms, is from the realm of prosperity. It's not painful giving. That's why the Bible says God loves a generous giver. How is when you give sacrificially, that is when you're giving to God. When you give joyfully, it's hard to give joyfully when you're giving in a sacrificial way. But when you're giving in a sacrificial way to God, it's a completely different experience, people. Okay? So listen to me. This is a conversation that I will continue at my website and with those that I serve. I beg of you to join me in the movement to become a profitable steward. And if you're a Christian, this should be your mission. None of us want to go back to the one who gave us our talent. We don't want to go back to God and be the one who took the one that was received and be buried, going back to God the very way we were created, with a single talent. Uninvested, unprofitable, because then we take the risk of hearing wicked, lazy servants. Area of prosperity is not one that comes with being a servant of God, because these three servants were servants of God, but one did not utilize the opportunity, and two did become a profitable steward. Enjoy debt-free wealth. Prosperity is not entitled, but it is within reach. Thank you. Trudy Behrman here. I am super simple to find at trudybehrman.com, and I do look forward to connecting with you.